89:119. The fifth Savior Fat is looking for will to lead the resistance against the regime, the BIP, like Che. This time, it won't just be a deposing of the regime. The revolution of the 60s will take over the government and rule in its place. This did not happen in the 60s. Once Nixon was out, the counterculture dissolved, because all its leaders had been killed, as the Sybil pointed out. So the fifth Savior replaces them and leads the revolution to overthrow the regime, the BIP, Reagan himself. This is what Vallas is all about. It preaches revolution. I see Vallas as the Bible, a political handbook, a basic text like Mao's Red Book, copying to the fact that I saw Christ is in order to show my authority for preaching political revolution. We must not only overthrow the regime, we must seize power in its place. I must come out of the closet. I already have in Vallas, in confirming the suspicions raised by tears. Progress is taking place. Deposing Nixon was not enough. We melted away. It was business as usual. Now we will take over after a terrible battle with the regime. I must stand behind Vallas theologically and politically. A wholly new thing. The invisible secret true Christians are surfacing, and I am one of them. They've existed for some time, but in secret. Now they come into the open. Vallas is a manifesto. 89:137. 1. You cannot apprehend the Ida and still employ space, time, and causation as ordering categories. 2. You cannot employ space, time, and causation as ordering categories and still apprehend the Ida. This is what I finally realized, twin realizations, or rather, twin aspects of one realization. The mind, brain, must choose. I have read so many articles on philosophy that I finally learned to reason, not just to guess. 89:139. I just reread Flow My Tears. The mystery deepens. Obviously, it is the Bacchae retold. Felix Buckman is King Pentheus, the King of Tears. Jason Taverner is the stranger, the priest of Dionysus, who is imprisoned by Pentheus and who bursts the prison and causes Pentheus to become insane and dress up in women's garb, alluded to by the character of Alice, who is Felix Buckman's twin. King Felix is Dionysus, the joy god, who was shown to me to be Christ by the dream I had in which I was shown the book page on which the name Jesus split apart into Zeus, Zagros. Beyond doubt, King Felix is a cipher and refers to the god who will and does pull down the King of Tears, the police tyranny. Dionysus does this, as that UK article described. So I am saying that King Felix refers primarily to Dionysus, and it was Dionysus who overthrew Nixon. My enthusiasmos in 2374 was by Dionysus. I was intoxicated. It was Dionysus's stoned magic that permitted me to see what I saw in 374. Greek. Hence I heard Thomas thinking in Greek. Hence the Sybil and Cyclops. By the cipher, Dionysus identified himself and his presence. But you had to be mad or intoxicated to read the cipher. Hence I dreamed of the maze at Minos, saw Crete beyond the 1-618034 doorway and Aphrodite. I was possessed and saved by Dionysus. He saved me from the Xerox missive trap. This is why I was manic, intoxicated. Dionysus, my equation is correct. 1. The Bacchae. 2. The Gospels. 3. Hamlet. One and the same story. Dionysus inspired the counterculture's overthrow of Nixon and inspired Vallas in 2374, the joy god, King Felix, the injury done Felix Buckman. The death of Alice symbolizes the mortal blow to soon be struck at the tyranny by Dionysus. Then when I was slipped the hit of STP in 74, it was Dionysus I saw. the grapevines growing up around the figure of the Catholic priest, my little icon of the saint. Note: STP, aka DOM, 2,5-dimethoxy-4-methylamphetamine, is an unusually long-lasting psychedelic compound first synthesized by Alexander Shulgin. End note. And all the pranks, games, and riddles, e.g. regarding Erasmus, I heard the word dithyram, the dance of Dionysus. Note: a Greek hymn in honor of Dionysus. End note. 89-141. I do discuss Dionysus in Valis, but he has occluded me with Christian material, a diversion that I fell for, until I reread Tears tonight. Dionysus caused me to see all that I saw in 374. It was his magic. It wasn't really Christ and God. Dionysus can take any form. He fooled me. Of course, now that Valis is in print, Dionysus lets me see the truth, since it doesn't matter. This, too, is sooth, Yeats. It is magic, pagan magic. This explains Diana, the AI voice. Pagan magic, come to our rescue. 89-142. Entry number 12 in the tractate. The Immortal One was known to the Greeks as Dionysus, to the Jews as Elijah, to the Christians as Jesus. He moves on when each human host dies, and thus is never killed or caught. Hence, on the cross, Jesus said, etc., Elijah had left him, and he died alone. I rest my case. The joyous, happy Felix Christians blowing up the BIP and running away. This is Dionysus's perception of the grim King of Tears, his rule, and the bursting of his prison by Dionysus. To Dionysus, this is the basic perception of the dialectic of history. Dionysus, the running, joyous, secret Christians blowing up the black iron prison versus the King of Tears. And of course, I never flashed on this. BIP versus joyous Christians equals prison versus Dionysus. Dionysus equals freedom. BIP and King of Tears equals slavery. This is the underlying struggle. Tears is a Greek tragedy, but more than that, it is the birth of Christianity out of tragedy. Out of the loss and grief at the end, agape is born. So not only is Dionysus there, tragedy, but Christ Christianity. It is as if Christ is born at the end. This is truly an extraordinary novel. It is the passing of one age, antiquity, and the birth of the next, Christianity. So as a proto-history, it goes from BC to AD. The madness induced in Pentheus by Dionysus, Taverner, is converted by the dream, which is of Christ, into agape, which is sane. The solution to Dionysus and madness and grief and loss is found in Christian agape, which appears as the solution to the ancient world itself. It is as if Dionysus has evolved into Christ. Dowland, because of his lute music, is obviously Orpheus, the link between Dionysus and Christ historically. 89-148. Dream. The Parousia is here. R.C., Rosy Cross, is controlled by the Roman Catholic Church, subliminal messages, so that the true Christians will identify themselves. The Holy Mother Church knows Christ is here. Hence, Valis. We are totally under the control of God, Valis, now. The separation of the sheep from the goats has begun. 89-186. Surely someone in the world who knows about the Holy Spirit will recognize that this is what Valis is about, but the humble author did not. Look at their stance at the end. It is that of the 11 at the time of Acts. In fact, Valis is a retelling of the story of the Spirit of the risen Lord returning to the grieving disciples. Horse lover Fat's grief is over the death of a friend. He seeks this dead, lost friend in and as the Savior. To this lowly, grieving man, a paradigm of the 11 after the crucifixion, there suddenly returns the Spirit, turning grief and loss into joy and recovery. The Ripidon Society is the 11. The death of Gloria is the death of Jesus. No one has noticed this, including me. The Spirit inspires Fat with faith, so that he looks forward to the parousia, not backward to the crucifixion. Without intending it, in Valis, I retold Acts. So for a second time, Acts appears in my writing as the Urwelt, the real world. How can it be that I, even I, did not notice this, that I had depicted the grieving disciples, horse lover Fat, after the death of Jesus, Gloria, to whom the Holy Spirit returns, changing grief to joy and loss to recovery, and most of all, turning him toward the future to wait overtly for the parousia. 89-219. I dreamed that I wrote down that what we call world is a program in a metacomputer. The program is arranged conceptually and not in time, space, or by causation. We call this metacomputer that our world is in God. Note: in this passage, Dick anticipates some of the most revolutionary physics of the late 20th century, especially Edward Fredkin's idea that underlying quantum mechanics and particle physics is a digital substructure from which the former phenomena emerge as a result of its computations. There is an interesting tension between imagining the computer as the lowest, most fundamental level of reality, which is Fredkin's position, and Dick's vision here, that the computer is somehow above the phenomenal world. While one may suppose that Dick's metacomputer would be the ultimate cognitive machine, hence Dick's identification of it with God, the implication of intentionality and metaconsciousness would not be a necessary or even a possible consequence of Fredkin's notion of a computer at the lowest level of reality. In both cases, however, the positing of a digital machine leads to the important consequence that reality is fundamentally discrete rather than continuous. Time and space, in Fredkin's view, operate like the frames of a movie. Rather than the continuous fabric of reality, we think we experience with time and space, both are actually discrete, and the illusion of continuity is created because the frames flash too fast for us to detect. NKH. End note. Folder 59. Note. With this folder, Dick returns to handwriting, and from here on out the folder contents are increasingly scattered. One folder may include chunks of several distinct entries, suggesting an indeterminate amount of missing material. At least some of the rearranging is clearly deliberate. Several long folders, 81, 89, 90, 91, continue to use the Roman numerals that started with folder 1, as if he is picking and choosing from exegesis entries with some editorial purpose, though the logic of these choices is unsurprisingly enigmatic. He also begins to introduce alphabetic letters to his numbering system, which significantly help the work of sequencing, though questions remain. There are at least three distinct alphabetical sequences in 1981 and 82, none of them complete. Rather than attempt to reconstruct the scattered entries, we have opted in almost every case to present existing folders as is. Exceptions will be noted. PJ. End note. Early 1981. 59, 8. Note. Throughout this folder, Dick reflects on Valis in light of the novel's publication in February 1981. PJ. End note. In Valis, in terms of style, I satisfy the most ultra-correct literary standard. From my years of the late 40s and early 50s, when I understood what true literature was, especially as I was affected by Norman, who in turn had been affected by Henry Miller. There is tremendous social, revolutionary, and political purpose in the style, as well as the content. Note: Dick's claim for the revolutionary and political purpose in the style strikes me as astute, if immodest. This reminds us again how Dick's late-life novelistic triumphs in Valis and Transmigration, as well as in A Scanner Darkly earlier, depend on his reintegration of his abandoned mainstream aspirations, and therefore display anamnesis of his earlier study of his would-be mid-century cohort. In a 1962 letter, he advised an aspiring science fiction writer, "Read great writers like James Joyce and Pascal and Styron and Herb Gold and Philip Roth." He added, "Avoid other people interested in writing." J.L. End note. 59.12. Valis: an artifactual analog of reality being deceptive, paradoxical, resisting analysis as to which parts are true. Some parts are true, certainly, consisting primarily of information, but not such that adds up to a coherent picture. Thus, Valis is the thing it itself describes, analyzes. Thus, primarily, Valis is a creation, not an analysis. It itself poses the very mystery and puzzle that it itself deals with. To understand Valis, then, is to understand reality in toto itself. Reality, as is said in Valis, is a living maze that constantly changes. Valis, which analyzes this maze reality, is itself a maze, and it, like reality, constantly changes. My analysis of the logical paradox posed by Valis is that the narrator is sane and therefore did see Christ. This is the solution to the maze Valis, and can at once be extrapolated to the macrocosmic maze reality, viz., Christ is present, but concealed within, and by layers of paradoxical camouflage, exactly as in Valis. 59.50. Late at night, stoned and drunk, glancing at Valis. It is highly experimental. Absolutely unofficial, anti-official junk art, i.e. protest art. Made of the garbage of the vernacular, informal in structure, incorrect in viewpoint, it speaks for and in the language of, the fashion of, a segment of society normally so disenfranchised that even Binky Brown doesn't act as its voice. A certain kind of troubled young isolate asking schizophrenic questions like, is the universe real? Is God good? Superstitious and artless and crude? Is that what Valis is? Or is it very deliberate and careful, carefully fashioned by the most advanced artistic devices possible, in order to give voice to these, the final frontier of disenfranchised people, as my mail shows? Psychotic or nearly so, alone and brilliant, no one has ever spoken for them, and in their own way of expressing themselves. This is an artifact, not a sincere, naive confession. John Clute is wrong, and it will someday so be recognized. It is a cunningly, professionally contrived artifact, i.e., work of protest art, anti-bourgeois and anti-official, at anything but naive. It is evident that I spent years figuring out how to write it. It is not spontaneous autobiography. It is a forgery, a very artistic forgery. Only someone knowing about modern non-objective protest art, especially that of Weimar, would know what Valis really is. It is like a Warhol painting of a Campbell soup can. It is very avant-garde. It is not what it seems to be. It is not quasi-psychotic confession. It is an artifact. Look out, it will delude you. Yes, it is picaresque. And it is a maze. It deliberately deceives, for the highest possible reason, not an artistic one, but to raise Dorota Fana. Note. German. The red flag. End note. It is of the 30s. It is Dada out of anti-fascist Weimar. It is, in the final analysis, revolutionary. It does not have to do with religion. It has to do with revolutionary action against the state. Scanner gave voice to the 60s street people. Vallis provides a voice to yet another, and even more despised group, the adolescent loner intellectual, very much like Jack Isidore. This is a very Christian deed on my part, but its main implications are, 1, artistic, and 2, revolutionary. It is true modern art, that of the refuse stratum of the computer hacker and Dungeons and Dragons era, post-dope, as it itself states. It is as if Jack Isidore has been revealed as secretly wise, a fool in Christ, and Horse Lover Fat is no schizoid, as was Jack Isidore. He grieves over lost and dead loved ones. His is the apotheosis of Isidore. Isidore grown into tragic maturity, yet still himself, and it is to him that is granted the vision of Christ, as if by Christ, of Christ, to Christ.